www.thebiblecity.com.
Well, we are Mother's Day, and I just wanted to make a comment on that. People ask me about my family, I will tell them that, you know, my wife and I have four girls, and people sympathetically say something like, wow, that must be really rough having five women in the house, and, you know, and that's nice to get that sympathy, but my usually response is this: yes, I have five women in the house, but if you ask my wife, she would say she has five kids. So you do the math, that's the reality. That's kind of my usual response. Because the fact is that sometimes we dads are often not very helpful, especially on the emotional front. And in general, I mean, I don't think many of us guys truly appreciate or understand all that moms do. On the other hand, I think that's true for us as kids. All of us, when we're children, we don't appreciate what our mothers do. We take so much for granted. We don't recognize the sacrifices that are made for the sake of others at the time. We don't realize the incredible toll that it takes on you as a mom. And so if you are a mom this morning, have been a mom, I just want to, on behalf of all of us who don't say it enough, and on behalf of maybe the people in your life who should say it more often, but don't, I just want to say thank you. What you do, thank you for your sacrifice, thank you for your love. And would you, if you are a mom this morning, would you just stand up? I know it's embarrassing, whatever, but would you just stand up? If you are or have been a mom, stand up and let's say thanks for our moms. Come on. Stand up back there. Come on. No, stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. All right, stay standing a moment. Come on, mom. Stay standing. We're putting you on the spot, but don't worry. We won't make you answer any questions. So I want to just take a moment and pray for you. And so for those who are around you, now, maybe I do realize that this day can be bittersweet for some people. Maybe there are difficult relationships with a mom, or missed opportunities, or disconnection, or something like that. But we do want to take a moment to pray and to simply celebrate you guys as mothers. So let's take a moment and pray for these ladies. Father God, thank you so much for the gift that you have given to us of life, and for the unique way in which you have chosen to use a mom in that process. We want to ask, Father, your blessing to be upon each one of these women here who are standing and the unique way in which they have served as a mom. We ask your blessings on them on this day. We ask for you to bring them an incredible joy for having accomplished and set into the work that you have called them to do. We want to ask that you help this day to be one that is special, because they are deserving of that. At the same time, Father, we recognize that there are times in life where things don't go according to plan or totally ideal. And for that, we ask for you to bring comfort and peace for those who may need it this morning. And God, as we honor our moms today, we pray that you would pour out your blessings on them. And we thank you for them. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's give our moms a hand one more time. Now you can sit down. Well, as Otis mentioned, we are in the fourth week of our Inside Out series. And we're looking at the different emotions that we see in the movie. And we're kind of seeing what Scripture has to say about that. And as I mentioned last week and in previous weeks, you know, that we saved a joy for today because we just didn't think it would be totally appropriate to be talking about sadness. That was the original flow plan of the series, but just didn't seem right to do sadness on Mother's Day. And at the same time, next week is going to be anger. We're not going to save that for Father's Day. So, you know, just dispel any rumors about that. But this morning, we are going to talk about joy. So, if we are fortunate, we are going to watch a quick, short video where we meet Joy. Now, Joy in the movie, one of my favorite lines from Joy was actually right at the beginning of the movie. Riley is born, and the first emotion that pops up is joy. And looking back on that moment, Joy says this: "It was amazing. It was just Riley and me forever, for 33 seconds. And then the other emotions start to come into play. And as Otis mentioned before, we've been looking at different emotions: disgust, fear, sadness. We'll look at anger next week. Those are the emotions that enter into the picture in the movie, and they're all negative emotions. Joy is the only positive one. Now, in the movie, Joy is the main character, right? She's in charge. And, you know, isn't it interesting that the emotion of joy, though, is often pretty rare for us? It's something that seems like it's hard to find sometimes. And we want it to be the main character, right? We want it to be that Joy is in charge, like she is in the movie, but sometimes that's, joy is hard to come by. Now, I was thinking about that this weekend, one of the reasons I think joy is so elusive is because we can't even really pinpoint what it is oftentimes. I mean, I spent a good deal of time just looking up different definitions, descriptions of joy this week, and a lot of them describe joy and happiness pretty much the same way. Now, if you, according to what I found, if you talk to a neuroscientist, they will say that joy and happiness are distinctly different because each one of them is produced in a different part of the brain. And one is an emotion, one is a feeling. There are something like 3,000 different feelings, according to neuroscientists, but only a handful of actual emotions. And those internal emotions are merely a subconscious response to the initial feelings caused by external stimuli. Confused? I was totally confused by that, all right? So that's joy, if you look at the neuroscientist definition. Now, if you read psychology articles, they will say something like this: happiness and joy, they are two different emotions. They're both emotions. Happiness seems to be something caused by some external factors, like certain people bring us joy, certain places bring us joy, certain things, certain thoughts, certain events conjure up feelings of happiness. But then joy is an internal thing. You have this sense of inner peace. And so they're different that way. And to a certain extent, that sort of made sense to me because I've always thought, you know, when it comes to happiness, happiness seems to be based on like our circumstances, right? We're happy if our circumstances are good and we're not if they're bad. But joy seems to be something deeper, something more constant that we're going to have. We probably all experience somebody who is going through really difficult circumstances, really difficult trials, and yet in the middle of that, they have this unusual spirit of joy, right? They aren't happy. They aren't happy about their circumstances, but there's a joy that's still there. And that's tough to put into words, isn't it? It's tough to describe. So coming up with a definition for the word joy, pretty difficult. But here's what I'm going with this morning, and this is in your notes, so you don't have to write it down. Joy is our response of delight or happiness to something exceptionally good or satisfying. Joy is our response of delight or happiness to something exceptionally good or satisfying. Now, when we're in the Bible, when we're looking at the words for joy or happiness, they're both pretty similar to one another. They appear differently, but many scholars would say they could be fairly interchangeable. They aren't, but to distinguish between the two is really splitting hairs. Okay, but in both cases, they mean something significant. So the word for happiness usually refers to being happy or blessed by God. The word for having joy means to have joy because of grace. So whether it's joy or happiness, I think here's the key. The key to joy isn't in how you define it. It's not about getting the right definition per se, but it's in where you find it. It's in where you find it. It's the source of our happiness, the source of our joy. That's what matters most. If you're looking for greater joy in your life, then what matters most is where you find that joy. right? If you want to have greater joy in your life, and you know, who among us doesn't, right? Then I believe there are three things that God really wants for us, and that's what we want to explore this morning. Three things God really wants that will help us know true joy. Okay? So here's the first one, and we'll dive into a few scripture passages. We're going to be jumping around, so maybe easiest just to follow along on the screens this morning as far as the Bible verses go. But three things God really wants that will help us find joy. The first thing is this: God really wants you to experience joy. God really wants you to experience joy. Now, as you're writing that down or maybe jotting that in your notes, that's a great point to write down, but think about it. Do you really believe that to be true? Do you really believe that to be true? A lot of people don't. Sometimes people see God as just concerned with a bunch of rules and regulations, a bunch of do's and don'ts, right? We can't do anything fun. We can't party. We can't mess around with our boyfriend or girlfriend. We can't live the wild life. We can't spend our money on whatever we want or on extravagant things. Instead, we have to go to church, right? We have to read our Bible. We have to give our money. We have to pray. We have to volunteer our time. And so we start to see these things and we're thinking, well, people think, well, does God even want me to experience joy? Does he want me to have any fun? God really wants us to experience joy. In Deuteronomy, we read about a time where God gave the people of Israel a number of feasts or festivals that they needed to observe as part of their religious ceremony and practices. Now, one in particular is coming just off of Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, very serious, somber holiday or festival, and it requires fasting, it required abstinence, so nothing fun, right? And 15 days later, God says, celebrate this feast. Celebrate the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, which is about tents. Okay, so it was a reminder of how God provided food as Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And it was also right after harvest time. So in a lot of ways, it was kind of like a combination of Thanksgiving and tailgating. Okay, so that's kind of what we get here. So the people would journey to Jerusalem, to the temple, and they stayed in these decorated tents for this festival for like 7 days. And here's the passage, Deuteronomy 16, 13 through 15, where God is instructing this. And he says, celebrate the festival of tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your winepress. Be joyful at your festival. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites, and the foreigners, and the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. Right? Everybody, be joyful. Everybody was invited into this. Not just the people of Israel. The people who were there were invited in as well. Verse 15, for 7 days, celebrate the festival to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. Okay, so try to get that picture. Millions of people gathered at the temple having just finished harvesting their crops, and they're celebrating and they're being joyful. Okay, it's like tailgating at the temple, Thanksgiving for 7 straight days. I mean, amazing, amazing thing. And so, does God want us to have any fun? Does God want us to have joy? Well, when was the last time we had a party like that? Right? Probably never. But God's people did. In fact, they did it because he commanded them to. He wanted them to experience joy. Okay, don't think that God doesn't want us to have any fun. God really wants us to experience joy. Okay? So that's the first thing. We've got to understand that. Now, the second thing is this. God really wants to be your source of joy. Okay, so not only does he want us to experience joy, God wants to be your source of joy. Again, we tend to think that this world has so much to offer, but it really doesn't. And if you look at our definition of joy, if joy is our response to something exceptionally good or satisfying, well, this world does not have what we're really looking for. We find that throughout all of Scripture. We need to find something else, or obviously someone else, where we'll find that joy. So Solomon, was the third king in Israel's history, and he was considered to be blessed with wisdom, incredible wisdom. And he wrote the book of Proverbs, which is a collection of wise sayings. He wrote a few other books that we find in our Bible, including the book of Ecclesiastes. And here's what he says in chapter 2. This is him writing as the teacher. He says, "I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure or joy, what use is it? And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all my hands had done, and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun." Now, a little bit heavy, a little bit harsh words when we think about this world and what it has to offer. But this entire book explores different aspects of life and the ways of the world and comes to the conclusion that it's all insignificant and meaningless. It's all vanity. Because we're only going to find real joy in the Lord. Now, that might be fairly obvious for us this morning. You know, as we're followers of Christ, we think, well, duh, Eric, right? We find our joy in the Lord. He wants to be our source of joy. And yet, joy is so elusive. So how do we find that joy? How do we find that joy? Well, here's what Jesus had to say about it, a passage you're probably familiar with. John 15, 9 through 11. He says this, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Okay, so Jesus speaking here says, look, I want you to have joy. Right? I want my joy to be in you, and I want your joy to be full. But he mentions two things that will help us be filled with joy. We can be filled with joy if we do these two things. These two things are important. First of all, we need to abide in his love. Right? We need to abide in his love. Abide in him. Why is abiding so important? I mean, the idea of abiding means just to remain, to stay connected here with Jesus. Why is abiding in him so important? Well, because our joy is not, joy is something we can't produce on our own. Right? We can't manufacture joy for ourselves. It's the result of our relationship with him. In Galatians 5, Paul writes about joy, and he listed among the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, he says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Okay? Joy, like these other things, it's not something we're supposed to just conjure up. It's not something we're supposed to manufacture. We don't work harder at trying to have more joy. It's a fruit. It's the result of something. It's the result of walking in step with the Holy Spirit and simply abiding in Jesus. Okay, Paul, who wrote this, he was one of the hardest working guys ever, one of the hardest working people ever in terms of sharing the message of Jesus throughout the world. I mean, he was tireless in his efforts to make Christ known, but he understood this, that if I want to have greater joy, the answer isn't try harder, work harder at getting joy. The answer is work harder, if you're going to work harder at anything, work harder at abiding in Jesus. Right? The stronger your relationship with Jesus is, the more joy you're going to have. Okay, so the first thing that Jesus says to us is abide in his love. Right? Abide in him. Abiding in the Lord, that's one of the things that will help make our joy complete. The second thing is this, obey his commands. Obey his commands. Okay? See, we can't be abiding in him and disobeying him at the same time. Right? That's not supposed to be how it is. We're never going to find joy in that kind of life. So don't turn away from him and then begin to look for other sources of happiness or joy, because it won't get you what you're looking for. Your joy will not be complete. David was one of the greatest kings in Israel's history, but he messed up big time. And in Psalm 51, he writes about this. He says, writes about his transgressions, his iniquities against God, and the need to be made clean again. Here's what he says in Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12. He writes, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." See, by David's own failures, he discovered that sin can steal your joy. Right? And he wanted it back. And so he says, "Cleanse me, God, so I can experience that joy again." So we need to obey his commands. And I think that's interesting because while we can't manufacture joy, right, that comes from abiding in him, we can sabotage it by our sin. Right? We can't manufacture it on our own, but we can sabotage it by our sin. Joy is the fruit of this right relationship with God. We get that by abiding in him. Sin puts us at odds with him, and it robs us of his joy. So we have to obey his commands. When we do these two things, abide in Jesus and obey his commands, we have an opportunity to experience the kind of joy that Jesus talked about. His joy in us and our joy complete, right? We can be filled with joy. So God really wants to be the source of our joy, but in order for that to happen, we've got to abide in him and obey his commands. And here's the thing about God being our source of joy. It's really important because if the key to joy is not so much in how you define it, but in where you find it, then we have to remember this. There's no good without God. Right? There's nothing good without God. The scriptures tell us this. James 1, 16 and 17 and Psalm 16, 2. You could look those up on your own at some point. But they tell us, look, everything good comes from God. Every good thing comes from God. And apart from him, there is nothing good. So there is no good without God, which means there's no joy without God either. Right? So if we want joy, which is a good thing, we've got to find it in him. When we go looking for joy apart from him, it's going to leave us empty. It doesn't matter what that thing is that we're pursuing. If it's a material thing, if it's a friendship we're chasing after, if it's a romantic relationship, if it's a physical pleasure, a feeling of significance or security or comfort or peace or love, unless it's of God, it's not going to give us the kind of joy we're really looking for. Even if we think it does, it doesn't. Even if we think it will, it won't. So we have to say no to anything that promises us, anything in this world, that promises us something good that is apart from God. Because there is no good without God, and there's no joy without him either. Right? So God really wants you, first of all, to experience joy, and he really wants to be the source of your joy. And I know that some of this is like, boy, this is a little heavy for a message on joy, but it's important stuff. But here's why I want to turn the page a little bit. And we're going to continue in worship in a few moments, but here's where I want us to turn the page. And here's the last point, the last thing that God really wants. God really wants you to know that you are his joy too. Right? He wants you to know that you are his joy too. It's not just about pursuing him and finding our joy in him, but it's in understanding that we are his joy as well. In Luke 15, we read these parables that Jesus told. And he tells us about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. Right? And in every one of these stories, when the thing that was lost gets found, there's this celebration, this incredible celebration that takes place. So Jesus said in Luke 15, 7, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." There's joy in heaven, right, when we come to Jesus. we are the thing that was lost and we become found. And it fills God's heart with joy. And one more thing, just to help maybe drive this point home, that God wants you to know that you are His joy too. Think of what Jesus did for us, right? When He gave His life on the cross, He did it, Scripture says, for the joy set before Him, right? Hebrews 12:2, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. What's the joy set before Him? We are. We're the joy set before Him. You are the joy set before Him. I am the joy set before Him. That's why He did what He did. He gave His life on the cross for us. God wants us to know that we are His joy too. This morning, we're going to continue here in worship. And last week, we introduced a new song. It's called Chaotic Love, but the main line from the song is, "You're the one that really matters." And as I was thinking about that song this morning, or this week, I should say, as I was thinking about this song this morning, I thought, boy, there's three things we're talking about this morning that God really wants for us. God really wants for us to experience joy. He wants us to experience joy. God really wants to be the source of our joy, that we would abide in Him, that we would obey His commands, but that our joy would be found in Him. But here's the third thing that God really wants us to know, that we are His joy too. And my thought was this, if these are the things that God wants, and if He's the one that really matters to us, then we ought to give Him what He wants. Right? We ought to give Him what He wants. We ought to seek for Him to be our source of joy. And we need to let it sink into our hearts that we're His joy too. All right, we're going to continue in our worship, and I'd like to pray for us as we do that. Father God, thank You so much for the incredible gift of Jesus, who gave His life on the cross for our sin, because we are Your joy. What an incredible thought. What an incredible sacrifice. What an incredible God You are. Help us to find our joy in You. Help us to abide in You. Help us to seek to obey Your commands. And help us to really allow that reality that we are Your joy to settle in to our hearts, that we would live from that place, not seeking after the things that the world says, oh, this is going to be great. No, You are great. So we turn our hearts to You. We turn our hearts to You this morning. We worship You. In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.